the Lord manifested within his pastimes, the sweet loving relationships that he shares with his eternal associates. And by showing the nature of the love between the Lord and his devotees, he is giving all living beings, conditioned by the three modes of material nature, the opportunity to absorb their consciousness in remembering the Lord's pastimes, and thus become attracted to once again return to our eternal loving service to him. We discussed in brief the Supreme Lord's appearance, his beautiful pastimes in the palace of Dasarath and Kausalya, and then his journey with Vishwamitra Muni to the Siddhashrama, where the Lord dispatched Maricha and Subahu. We came to the Lord's visit to the holy city of Mithila. Through the evening, Maharaj Janak discussed with Vishwamitra Muni various transcendental subject matters. Then they all took rest for the evening. Early the next morning, Vishwamitra Muni, Lord Sri Ram, and Lakshman arose and performed their spiritual duties of devotion and worship to the Lord. Interesting how the Supreme Personality of Godhead was worshipping Lord Vishnu, because he took the role of a human being to show us how we should begin each day. Until later that morning, Maharaj Janak came to greet them. He bowed down at the lotus feet of Vishwamitra Muni and offered his very sincere greetings to Ram and Lakshman. King Janak, with folded palms, asked Vishwamitra Muni, "How may I serve you? I am here for your pleasure. Tell me, how can I please you?" Vishwamitra Muni requested that you bring us to see this famous and celebrated bull. King Janak proceeded to explain the history of this bull. Long ago, Lord Shiva, Mahadev, he fought with the great demon Tripasura, and he defeated him and his cities with this bow, and thereby gained the name Tripurari. Then, during the yajna of King Daksha, Lord Shiva, with this formidable bow, challenged the devatas and those who were on the side of Daksha. But when they saw the wrath of Lord Shiva, they became so very fearful that they surrendered to him, offered prayers and worship to him. Thus Lord Shiva gave the demigods this celebrated bow, which is all-powerful. The demigods later on entrusted it to one of the great forefathers of Maharaj Janak, whose name was Devarata. He kept that bow in a very reverential place in the kingdom, in a beautiful, beautiful casing. And since that time, the ancestors of Devarata worship that bow as none different than Lord Shiva himself. Janak Maharaj explained that this bow is so big, it is so powerful, that no man besides Shiva had the power to even lift it.
Maharaj Janak went on to describe how he was about to perform a great yajna for the welfare of all of his citizens. And he personally, as the king, took plow in hand to plow around the sacrificial arena, as was the tradition. As he was plowing in the earth through the sacrificial arena, the most wonderful pastime took place. The plow turned over the earth, and from the heart of the earth, a beautiful golden child appeared. This beautiful little daughter, King Janaka took from the earth and brought home to his palace and raised her as his own daughter. Her name is Sita. She became the life, the soul of everyone in Mithila, because she was the very embodiment of devotion. She was the most beautiful of all females in all of creation. Maharaj Janak, he vowed that it would take someone to lift that bow and string it to take the hand of Sita in marriage.
Because of Sita's fair qualities, great warriors, kings, from all directions were coming to win the hand of Sita. By the thousands, but none of them could even lift the bow. In fact, most of them, they were not even able to look at the bow. Even the great Rakshasa king Ravana came, and with all of his might, he pulled and he pulled and he pulled and he struggled and he strained and he wept and he cried, but he could not lift the bow. The kings, the princes, they became so much aggrieved because they so much wanted Sita, that they were so humiliated in an ocean of shame that they could not even move the bow. Due to this shame, they all came together and declared war against me with great armies. Many, many Akshohini divisions, they attacked my city. With all of my forces, I fought with them. One full year of continuous battle. My armies, my treasury was being depleted trying to fight against all these heroes. Thus, King Janak explained, I had to pray to the demigods to help me. Demigods, in answer to my prayer, they scattered all of these kshatriyas in all directions to protect our kingdom. Since that time, there is no one who has been able to match the challenge that I have given to win the hand of Sita. But now I am feeling very much worrisome. Will my daughter remain a widow throughout her life? Is there no one in all the world who is qualified to marry her? But today, I am seeing the illustrious beauty and virtues of Sri Ram. It is my hope and my prayer that he will lift and string this bow. For no one before in my life have I ever seen who is a suitable match for the virtuous and chaste Sita. Please come, and I will bring you to the assembly where the bow will be revealed to you. They went into the assembly house, and Maharaj Janak called for the bow to be brought. There was a big, big cart with many, many wheels. 5,000 strongly built soldiers struggling and straining with all their might to
pull that cart on its wheels into the assembly hall. Thus, they opened the case. When Vishwamitra Muni, Ram and Lakshman, saw this bowl, they were struck with wonder. It was a huge, formidable bowl, personally constructed by Vishwakarma for Lord Shiva's use. No one had ever used it before or after Lord Shiva. It was beautiful wood, ornamented with gold, silver, and all kinds of jewels. Sita was sitting on a balcony with her girlfriends. Many of the other citizens of Ayodhya crowded into the assembly hall to see whether this beautiful prince, Dasarathi Nandan, would be able to win the hand of Sita in marriage. When Srimati Sita Devi saw the beauty of Sri Ram, that eternal love within her heart awakened for him, she looked upon him and prayed that let him string this ball. Let him take my hand in marriage. Let me forever be his servant. But with her beautiful lotus eyes, which were timid and shy like that of a young deer, when they saw the very tender limbs of Lord Ram, and then they glanced upon the very hard, formidable bow, she began to worry, how is this possible? At the time, Lord Rama was only 16 years old. He was a youth in his blooming stage of life. Even old, seasoned gods, rakshasas, and heroic kings could not even look upon this bowl. How will Ram possibly be able to do it? But hope against hope, Sita prayed. Lord Ram approached the bowl. With folded palms and great respect, he offered his obeisances to this mighty weapon of Lord Shiva. Reverentially, with folded palms, he circumambulated the bowl several times. Then he stood before it, looking upon it with great gravity in his eyes. Then he looked toward his spiritual master, Vishwamitra Muni. Because without the blessings of Guru, Lord Ram considered no endeavor to be auspicious. Vishwamitra Muni offered his blessings to Lord Ramchandra to lift the bow. Then the Lord walked up to the bow and put his one hand in the center of it. Meanwhile, Sita Devi, with tears of expectation in her eyes, her limbs were trembling with anxiety. And King Janak, he was praying hope against hope that let this Ram string this bow. And all the citizens of Ayodhya who were assembled on that day were in rapt trance seeing this beautiful, youthful boy about to attempt to do what no one has ever done before. Sri Ramchandra grasped the bow and effortlessly he lifted it up above his head. People were shocked. Maharaj Janak
this thing. This is extraordinary. How is it possible?
Sita, her anticipation was growing more and more and more. After lifting it above his head, he placed one end to the ground and the other one was
way up high.
Sri Ramchandra then took the string.
He strung the bow and he pulled the string.
As he pulled the string, the bow bent more and more and more until it was like a half circle. Then the Lord pulled it all the more. He pulled it and pulled it until that mighty bow could no longer bear his strength. It cracked. The sound of the crack of that bow was like thunder. In fact, it created an earthquake throughout the world. Even the heavenly planets, they were shocked and stunned to hear this thunderous sound coming down from the earth. As the earth was shaking, and this thunderous roar of the bones breaking was reverberating in all directions, everyone on earth fell unconscious. Except Ram, Lakshman, Vishwamitra Muni, Janak, and Sita.
Of course, you know how Parasaram became quite angry that the bow of Shiva, which he entrusted, was broken. But then Lord Ramchandra revealed his supreme divinity to Parasaram, and Parasaram worshipped his lotus feet.
So
Maharaj Janak began weeping in joy. The citizens of Ayodhya began to call out, "Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram." And Sita Devi, her eyes filled with tears of happiness, was beyond herself with excitement. She was breathing, heaving very hard with uncontrolled happiness. Maharaj Janak then called for her to come down. She came before Lord Ramchandra with the garland of victory. This beautiful garland, which was made up of golden flowers, was only meant for the person who would be the future husband of Sita. She stood before Ram holding the garland, looking at his lotus feet. Then she looked into his eyes. And when both of their eyes met, the eternal union of love between them was ecstatically awakened. With Janak Maharaj's permission, Sita placed the garland around the neck of Lord Sri Ram. At that time, everyone in the city of Ayodhya present began to cry out with jubilation in their heart, "Sita Ram ki jai!
Sita 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 Ram ki jai!"
King Janak, weeping in exhilaration, he said, "Now, Ram, we will make all preparations, for you have won the hand of my daughter in marriage." Immediately, Vishwamitra Muni and Janak Maharaj sat together and dispatched messenger to go back to Ayodhya to bring the good news to Dasarath Maharaj. It took 3 days for them to arrive in Ayodhya. The messengers brought
precious gifts from Janak Maharaj to be presented to Maharaj Dasa. The messengers explained the whole story, how Lord Sri Ram broke the bow of Shiva. Dasarath Maharaj was shocked. How is it possible? He's just my little boy. He's only 16 years old. He's still depending on me for his survival.
Dasarath Maharaj, no matter what he saw or heard of Lord Ram's glories, to him he was still his child.
Dasarath explained to his ministers that just when Vishwamitra Muni came, I was pondering about who would be a suitable bride to marry Lord Ram. It was certainly the will of Providence and the arrangement of Lord Vishnu that Vishwamitra Muni had come to take him and bring him to Mithila.
Dasarath immediately ordered all of the virtuous senior members of his kingdom to prepare to leave for Mithila for the marriage of Sita.
Very soon they began their journey. Maharaj Janak made every possible arrangement on the way to bring comforts and pleasures to the bridegroom's party as they approached. I believe it took about 6 days for Dasarath's party to arrive. Maharaj Janak and Dasarath Maharaj, when they met, they embraced. They were old friends, and now there was going to be an everlasting union between the two great dynasties. They embraced, they cried in happiness, as Janak explained everything about the great victory of Ram. They made arrangements for the marriage, called Vasishtha Muni to be the head priest. Janak told Dasarath that this was the fulfillment of a prophecy that Narada Muni had spoken to me. When I met him and he saw the beauty of Sita, he explained to me that she is the eternal consort of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu himself will personally descend into this world and take her hand in marriage. And it is because of this that I made a condition of lifting this bow and stringing it, because I knew no one but Vishnu could do it. So the arrangements for the marriage began, and there was a wonderful arena made. They made a pandal that was 4 miles in diameter, because they invited kings, rishis, and sages, and princes from all over the world. There was beautiful assembly houses, palaces, for them to be comfortable. Vasishtha Muni personally orchestrating all of the arrangements for this most blessed of all events. It is explained that Vishwamitra Muni requested Maharaj Janak that since you're going to marry Lord Ram to Sita, assembled here is also Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. I suggest that we find suitable matches for them also, to have another daughter who can marry Lakshman, and your brother has 2 daughters who could marry Bharat and Shatrughna.
Very good, this is very good.
He called his brother, whose name was Kushadvaj. He made the arrangements that Ram would marry Sita, Lakshman would marry Sita's sister, Urmila, Bharat would marry Kushadvaj's eldest daughter, Mandavi,
and Satrughna would marry Kushadvaja's younger daughter, Shrutakirti. So the four princes, they had their special baths, they shaved their heads. That is the tradition for people getting married, according to the Vedic system. But these days, people are very attached to their hairs. They were decorated very, very costly silken garments, anointed with oils, and very beautiful jewelry and ornaments were put upon them. Maharaj Dasarath personally led them into the sacrificial arena. As they sat, there were thousands upon thousands of Brahmins chanting Vedic hymns to invoke auspiciousness. There was musicians playing beautiful ragas from the Vedas. And there were dancers dancing. Then Maharaj Janak, along with his brother Kushadvaj, escorted in beautiful princesses. There was Sita, Urmila, Mandavi, and Shrutakirti. When the four princes saw the beauty of the four princesses, they were very satisfied. The Shishtamuni began the ceremonial rituals, and at the auspicious moment, the great King Janak brought his daughter before Lord Sri Ramchandra. And with the word, "I offer my daughter Sita to you, dear Ram. She is more dear to me than my very life and soul. It is my promise that she will serve you with all dedication. She will be like your shadow to follow you wherever you may go. Whatever your fortune or misfortune may be, she will be by your side to give you happiness. Now, please take the hand of Sita in marriage." Giving the hand of Sita to Lord Ram, the Shishtamuni, as well as Janak, sprinkled sacred water to consecrate their holy marriage. The same divine ritual was then performed between Lakshman and Urmila, between Bharat and Mandavi, between Satrughna and Shrutakirti. Thus, the marriage was complete. Upon the marriage of Sita and Ram, demigods showered flowers. The rishis and sages were jubilant at heart. They knew that this would bring about great dharma and prosperity for the whole world. And Dasarath and Janak, they simply wept in happiness. This wonderful marriage was so pleasing to the hearts of everyone. King Janak then gave rich dowry. He gave hundreds and thousands of elephants and horses, chariots, soldiers. He gave millions of beautiful garments, silks, jewels, decorations. They gave hundreds and thousands of cows to all the Brahmins who performed the sacrifice. Each cow had just given birth to a calf and had golden horns and golden hooves. They gave abundant food grains to the Brahmins, to the sages. In this way, everyone was fully satisfied. Vishwamitra Muni, who had fulfilled his purpose, then took leave of all of them, returned to the Himalayas to perform his tapasya.